What's good, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Fun with Dumb. Today, I got some special guests and friends of mine, a musician duo, an electronic musician duo, known them individually for years, together as a collective. We have Mike B and Ken Nana from a group called McKenna. Thank you guys for coming over here, man.
Yo, what up, what up?
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all coming, man. It's going to be dope. Today we're going to do something really interesting. At the end of this interview, I want y'all to go into like a live performance. This is the first time ever we're doing this, so make sure you stay tuned all the way towards the end of this interview right here.
Yes, sir.
Man, how y'all feeling, dude?
Good, man. We're fresh off the album, so...
Just dropped a new album.
Dropped our first debut album. So.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Making a debut album is like having a baby, really.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? through your birth canal.
It was longer than 9 months.
I know.
We were holding on to it, so it's probably 2 years in the making.
Yeah, before that though, you guys have dropped music.
Yeah.
You called this the debut album, but there was a project before as well.
True. Yeah, we had an EP called 50-50 Side A, and then we just dropped some singles, throughout and spaced it, and then collected some records over the past maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
And the album is 9 tracks, but a lot of time went into it, so we're really, really proud of it.
Yeah, both of y'all, I've known you guys individually as artists, producer, vocalist, rapper. All you guys kind of do a little bit of everything. I know, Mike, you were like a rapper and stuff. Like, how did, not worry, you still are a rapper, but what made you, team up with Ken and turn this into a separate project of, the group McKenna?
At the time, we've known each other for a while, but we kind of reconnected maybe about 3 years ago. I was working down in Santa Monica at like this marketing social media tech company. And I came out to smoke a cigarette and like a block down. And then I just happened to see him skating down the street. And I was just like, yo, what the fuck are you doing here? And he was like, I live right down the street. So we were just like, okay. And at the time I was working on my album, which never dropped.
But it's coming soon.
Yeah, but we were working with Lowe, Callum, and I was looking for a sound, and we just hit the studio. We made like 2 records that kind of sounded really different, and then we just decided to kind of take it from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's dope to like kind of also get an opportunity to like reinvent yourself as an artist, because sometimes like as a rapper, like you do your thing and everybody knows like Dumbfounded, but it's like if I partnered up with somebody and did a whole other thing, you could just be like a whole other group.
That was
what was exciting about it, is we could kind of start something from scratch, take all the things that we learned from individually as artists and be able to like curate from scratch how it looks, how it sounds.
Yeah.
Start with 0 followers, nothing, and really brand it the right way. And we had the whole EP recorded before we even released the first track.
Yeah.
So we were just like collecting stuff.
What's the sound, would you explain? How would you explain the sound to the people who aren't familiar with McKenna?
Man, I'm going to let you do this.
That's a tough one, because it started with electro soul, because it has a lot of the electronic kind of elements. Like I use a lot of synthesizers and shit like that, and drum machines, and so it has that electronic feel, but we use them in a soulful way,
Right.
So it's, performing with those instruments in a soulful way and introducing more R&B to it with, the melodies and top lines that Mike was doing over it versus just rapping. I was like, hey, why don't you try singing over this shit?
Yo, he let me sing on wax, bro. I was just...
I feel like you even with your rap songs, you had a lot of melodic, talent. You had a gift for melodies, but even with the new stuff, like you're still, there's a lot of parts where you're spitting. Know what I mean?
So exactly.
That's kind of a cool mix to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We wanted to try and blend both of that, because hip hop has always been like our roots. That's kind of what we grew up listening to, but melodies are really what capture people and really capture a sound and make things classic and timeless.
Right. I mean, with this new project, Is it? I mean, I listened to the new project. There's like a lot of rap stuff too. You kind of brought back, I feel like, from the original EP too and stuff. Like, how did that feel? Like, kind of, do you feel like refreshing to get some raps off?
Dude, it felt like getting a nut off, bro.
After that little rap nut.
Yeah, little rap nut, dude. You know, but it was really dope because I got to really dive in because I never had vocal lessons or. Learn how to sing. I loved R&B growing up, but Ken kind of just hit record and let me, you know, dealt with all the other shimmers and nice little wave plugins to make me sound nice.
Right.
But it just gave me some space. But definitely I think rap is in my roots. You know, you took me on my first tour, rap tour, bro.
I did take this man on his first tour where he busted his first rap nut. on the road, you know, the road nut. It's great, man. I'm really proud to see you guys like taking this shit to another level because musically it's just like exciting, you know what I mean? And yeah, and you know, all the girls love it too and shit. Yeah. The sound, so like what, like you guys in the last year really kind of, you know, we're doing shows in London, Europe. Mm-hmm. Like, how was that vibe? Like, because that was like your first time kind of expanding out into that world, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. We, our first official show that we booked was in Stockholm, and we had like two songs out at the time, and they found us on some blog or whatnot. And it's these girls, their name, Ladies Love Hip Hop in Stockholm, and they curate like a lot of dope, you know, new talent out in Stockholm. And they just reached out to us and were like, hey, we'd love to have you guys come to a show. And we're like, you're in Stockholm. Like, that's how do you want to do this? Are you going to pay for all of our flights, our hotels? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, and
they're like, duh, motherfucker. Like, and we're like, think we're going to make you pay?
Is this how this works?
Yeah.
So we were just tripping. So our music through Spotify was able to kind of make its way out to Europe. And it got like on the viral top 50 and like
the US, top 50, Italy top 50. It just started trickling.
That's the dope thing because I saw it naturally kind of spread, you know, what I mean? Virally. And then, like what you said, whether it's promoters, whatever, they're just finding you off this one track. You know, Ness was like the big track. So, Ness was like the single that really started blowing up internet wise and really getting the numbers.
Yeah.
But just seeing people reach out to you off of that song and they're loving it and booking you in these like crazy places. How that feels.
Yeah.
It was wild.
It was wild.
It was crazy because we're focused on SoundCloud at the time. I think SoundCloud was where people were discovering music. We had no idea Spotify.
The power of Spotify.
was a thing.
So Spotify that really spread the track or what?
Yeah.
I think so,
the
man.
The playlists and stuff.
I mean, you know, we got like the attention first on like a couple blogs, like we just literally just hit up everybody we possibly can. And finally, like this chick page at Ear Milk, like got back and was like, what the fuck is this? You guys are awesome. I'd love to write about it.
Right.
She wrote about it and that was Ness, right? And it started circulating on blogs, but then we dropped our second track, Trinity Ave. And that one actually, you know, Mike's homie hit him up and was just like, hey, you guys got on this Fresh Finds playlist on Spotify, and we're like, oh cool, that's
cool,
dope,
whatever.
You know, like we didn't think it was a big deal. And it was our second song, Trinity Ave, that got put on that playlist, and it was like right at the top. So overnight we got like 20,000 streams and we're like, oh shit, this is a real playlist.
No, it's just dope to see like an actual success story from blogs and all that, where that world
just groundwork.
We've like, you know, we've lost faith so much in that process of like getting a song on a blog or a playlist and expecting it to blow up from that, right? And we don't necessarily like expect it anymore. People still like will pay a publicist to get on it.
Exactly.
Right.
But like that just tells you like the song is good, or you know, like the music is good. And to me that's like a refreshing thing, you know.
Yeah, it's more chances for people to discover it, and if the right person catches it, you know, they can help us out.
Yeah. And I think more so like even with stream counts and stuff, it really we realized was in terms of blogs and like, you know, write-ups and publications, that's kind of more like the badges and notoriety,
the blue checks,
you know. And then the streams really come from just building your fan base grassroots and just trying to,
right,
you know, sync up with that. But We've just been winging it, bro.
Yeah, we were able to get those other Europe shows through UTA. They reached out to us.
See, that's a dope thing. I mean, I have a lot of young artists who always come up to me regarding booking agents and managers and stuff. And, you know, the thing about it is, like, it really just happened very naturally for you, which I always advise a lot of artists.
Yeah,
you know
yeah I mean? Dude.
Don't.
We didn't chase anybody.
Yeah, you know like, I mean? You're not, like, don't seek that. When you're ready, it'll come
to you.
It'll
come.
You know what I mean? You guys just worked on in the studio and the sound. And I was curious, too, because obviously there's a sound and there's also, a visual aspect to what your brand and, you know, you guys as an artist is. So, like, what is the aesthetic, you know? Like, I see it. But, like, what is the theme behind it and why that, you know? Like, the colors, the visuals. Because it's very on brand, you know?
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you know, we've always kind of used the roadmap of retro futurism.
Right.
So
it has that 80s, like, Stranger Things kind of
it's
feel to it.
It's got that 80s retro vibe. But, you know, how would they show what the future is like in the past? You know,
right.
A lot of Space Odyssey 2001, like, old Blade Runner shit, like... Those are the types of things that inspired us visually and also sonically too. You know what I mean? Like a lot of this old synth sounds that they use in the soundtracks. I went and like bought synths that were made in the 80s to try and actually get those sounds. I think that, you know, those sci-fi films have really, you know, been an inspiration.
You actually time traveled back to the 80s to get the sounds.
We did.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, but it's crazy because I just recently played PlayStation VR for the first time. And, I mean, I was like, this was like literally last week and I was fucking mind blown because I played Beat Saber and it's like Guitar Hero meets Fruit Ninja. And like have you heard of it?
No.
It's like these blocks come up to you and you slice them.
To the
but
beat.
That world is like, it reminded of like your aesthetic of like McKenna. Yeah. And I was like, yo, y'all need to get a song on Beat Saber, bro.
Yeah,
I was
just
like, ham, I was breaking a sweat.
We actually got a couple songs on this game called Electronauts. It's also PlayStation VR.
Oh, shit.
Like,
oh, yeah, that was
Oculus.
The thing I went to. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's similar where it's an interactive way of like playing the beats live and remixing it. And it has that same kind of feel.
What's the game called?
Electronauts.
Yeah, it's by Servios. Yeah. Shout out Servios.
Oh, yeah. I think the homie said he was going to give me some games if I copped a PSVR, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, dude, it's fun. It's like just a whole new world, man. That VR shit is crazy.
Yeah.
It takes you somewhere.
That's tight. And I know like you do a lot of vocals on the projects too, as well as producing and stuff. Like, what's the process like when you guys are in the studio? Because, I mean, you do a little producing too, right?
No, I don't do producing.
He sits there, facilitates.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, he'll be the one to kind of reassure when I'm just like fucking around him, like, dude, record that. That's dope. You know, and sometimes I need that because I'll just keep experimenting and I won't hit record forever. So, you know, a lot of times we'll just kind of get a beat going, get a vibe going, whether it's just chords or drum pattern with some chords. And then we have, you know, in our studio, we have like a microphone just already
set up,
a handheld mic ready to go. So where you can
lay ideas,
just hit. Hold it up and just lay down melodies. We have the auto tune on as well. So it's like you already sound good. I have it, you know,
Print
with set. Reverb and everything.
Yeah.
So you could feel the music while we're making it. He's on the, you know, on the mic just freestyling melodies. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll do like a voice note or something if something.
Yeah, because it alleviates a lot of the time wasted, I think. When I see a lot of, like, when creative juice is flowing sometimes in studios, and because all the technical side of things you have to set up and you know.
Yeah, it ruins the flow.
It ruins the flow. So, you know, that can.
We streamline the whole studio to where everything is ready to go at all times.
No, for sure. What's the, like, and you guys have dabbled into, like, songwriting for other artists as well, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of, like, the goal, too, to be, like, a songwriting duo for other, you know, big artists and stuff?
This year, because, you know, we noticed also, because our biggest, I think, strongest trait is in the studio, and what we love doing is obviously the artist side of things. It's hard. You got to tour. You got to make records. You got to market. You got to sell the record. You got to post on social media.
Yeah.
It's a full time gig, and the ROI in terms of that, unless you're really popping, you're not going to really make a whole lot of money. But on the songwriting side and producing side, we really want to tap in this year, and you know, we have a bucket list of artists.
It's exhausting, right? Making memes, yeah, and things like that. Yeah, you gotta make memes.
Memes,
yeah.
Dude, like,
yeah, you gotta have beefs on IG Live.
Yeah,
like, it's just a tough thing.
It's a whole new world, dude. can't keep up.
All the drugs, all the bitches, you gotta fuck. Like, it is a lot of work. I mean, I'm just one man. That's, yeah.
For real, though. But we are transitioning now. Like, the album has been the focus for the past year, for sure. We've just been like, let's lock in. Let's get a solid debut album that we can just put out top of 2019. And then now, you know, most of the music that we're writing, we're just like, if it's not like, this is definitely for McKenna, we're going to just build a catalog and just start shopping shit, you know?
Yeah. Because I mean, doing an album is really tough, because sometimes, as an artist too, in a world of like singles and stuff, it does feel like you work so long on a project that may not be as appreciated all the way through.
Right.
And it is like busting a whole nut that you've been saving up for like 2 years.
That no one saw,
It sucks. You know what I mean? Yeah. That no one saw. You busted a nut, and the girl's like, what happened? You're like, fuck, like, what do you even see that? I just busted the biggest nut of the year. Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, but
I mean, it seems like people seem to have appreciated the whole album all the way through, right? Like, how the response has been good?
It's been great. I mean, that's why we we handpicked those 9 songs, because we didn't want it to be just a mixtape of a bunch of bangers on one project. We're like, what are the 9 songs, and what order is going to flow to where when you press play from the beginning, you don't really want to hit next. Like, once it goes to the end, it'll transition to the next. So,
right,
you know, it was just a matter of handpicking the ones that made sense for this vibe, this escapism that we wanted to create.
That's what. So the album is called Escape.
Yeah.
What's the meaning behind that? Is it to escape into this audio landscape or what? Yeah.
Damn near, dude.
You know, Ken's huge on escapism. I think, you know, when we do create in the studio, it's usually, it just kind of, he lays down the sonics, and a lot of times it puts you in a place or a time, you know. And I think we all use escapism to some degree, whether it's video games or movies we watch or TV shows, music. We all escape through these things. And so this album, we just wanted to kind of embody that.
We approach it kind of like a feature film, you know what I mean? Like, we wanted it to feel like you're sitting there, sitting through a movie, you know, where you sit down and you watch it from beginning to end, you know, and that's the soundscape that we created. We wanted to have that feel. So we included a lot of atmospheric sounds and put you in a place where, you know, you can close your eyes or hop in the whip and just, it's an album for you, you know. It's not like you put it on and you party to it. Although some of the tracks you can, but it's like, we wanted people to like sit with this on their own.
I feel that, actually. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? And like, headphones or in your car by yourself, where you just want to get away, you know?
I think that element is also has like a very LA element to it, in a sense. Because you guys are, you know, obviously from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Like, you're from the Valley, right?
Yeah.
And you're from K-Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly. Like, we know each other for a while, but I'm in podcast mode. So, but yeah, I mean, do you feel like there's like a West Coast element to you guys when you guys make music too, or what? Like,
100%.
Oh, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Ken's got this nasty swing. Like, there's always, I always say, if you bust down a beat, there's always like a West Coast pulse to it. There's like an instrument somewhere that it just has like
I love G-Funk growing up too. I grew up listening to
those
all that
synths
shit
and stuff, right? Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah.
So it's like, even when I don't try to, I end up coming up with these like G-Funk bounces sometimes. And, you know, it's just part of, you know, also, you know, my dad played classic rock and I used to play drums with him jamming. He was a guitar player, and we, you know, Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix, and there's just all these random influences. Mm-hmm. But like, growing up in LA, you know, and in the 90s, you know, it was all 90s gangster rap, G-funk music.
That's that 80s, 90s, you know, retro future shit y'all talking about. Yeah. You know, you're leaving a fucking backyard party in South Central, headed to Runyon, doing a fat rail in your Corvette. You go up to Runyon, you hike up to Runyon, you're looking over the city full of smog. This is Los Angeles. You're crip walking on the top of the mountain. You know what I'm saying?
There's definitely a lot of crip walking moments in that album.
While eating kimchi jjigae on the way down.
On the way down.
You know what I'm saying? Just downing a bottle of soju.
Yeah.
That's gluten-free.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's that LA shit right there.
Oh, yeah, man. LA has a huge influence on... I think that's what makes it kind of special is, you know, a lot of people compare us, you know, or try to compare us to some other artists, but it's like, I think what makes us special is the product of our environment, you know, where we grew up and the age we grew up in and what things influenced us.
How's the you guys have like a little collective of people who work with you guys, and you guys have really kind of shown that there's like this team element, you know, a Nana lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
What does Nana lifestyle mean?
Nana lifestyle is really our creative collective that we've kind of allowed itself to just grow on its own. It started with my brother and I, Sean, and he does a lot of photography and, you know, graphic design. He does a lot of our visual work for McKenna. And we just wanted something where I could take, like, I did a lot of video production, design, music, whatever I can get my hands on, freelance shit. My dad was a designer as well as a full-time job and just did music for fun. And we were like, let's just kind of, yeah.
That's
so
dumb.
It was like, let's create one business that we can funnel all of our creative work to. And we already have three really dope creatives that we can bring in music, you know, video, whatever. So it started with that. And then we just decided to kind of expand. And as Mike came around, Perry came around, we just started adding people who wanted to just get involved in these projects.
It does take a village, right? To create like an artist brand or whatever. You need all types of stuff, especially if you're an independent, you know?
Exactly.
Are you guys on a label or anything?
No.
No, we're independent right now. We're just in limbo.
we decided we wanted our first album to just be dropped by
And y'all
us.
Have gone through the process though, right?
Yeah.
How's that experience been for you guys going through that major label process? I mean,
bro,
you guys have probably met with like every label at this point, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But what's crazy is when we first started like snowballing, we started getting meetings with, you know, these label execs and like Sony, Universal. So we were going to these offices for the first time, and you know, you go in thinking you know what the conversation is going to be about, but you end up walking out not knowing what the fuck happened.
Right. Because you're like, did we sign or no?
Because, you know.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know? And then you just see like these other artists walk in right after us and go through the same
shit. Oh, really?
You know,
it's like, I see that.
You'll see, you know, it's a process. And I think in the industry, we've just learned that, you know, everyone who's in the business, they just want to know, they have their ear to the ground, you know, they want to know what's next, who's new, and they want to get to know, you know, who is behind the music. So not just like, okay, the music's dope, but who's your lawyer, you know, or who's your manager, who do you have, you know, and they try and size you up. They want to see, you know, what they can, how they can work with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about building relationships, and because we're just at such an early stage, you know, only had like a few tracks out and people were hitting us up, and it's like, you know, we had to grow on our own and see where we could take it on our own before we start fucking with other people, you know what I mean?
And when we first, you know, going to this label, you know, being unsigned and independent and new, you're just like, damn, we're going to get signed, we're going to get a check or whatever.
Yeah.
And what we realized was a lot of those meetings came from execs or A&Rs wanting to see if we had records for other artists, you know, on their...
Like songwriting.
On that side. But we were, you know, at the time when we were just playing our stuff and you know, they're asking us like, yo, how did you guys, you know, get your song on your on the playlist and stuff like that? So there's like labels are still trying to
figure it out too.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they're like, you guys have zero followers and like you got your shit... You know, you got a million streams, but you have like 20 followers on Instagram. Like, how does that happen?
And you're like, yeah, the music's tight.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It just happened. And they're trying to figure that shit out too. You know, they're still.
Is it like when people, especially when if you're in these meetings and they mention like, oh yeah, like do you have records for like artists are working on and stuff? Like if that's not your vision, like how do you approach those moments? Are you just like, that's not really what we're doing. We're trying to, you know, push us as artists right now. And
yeah, I mean, we try to put aside stuff to pitch to other artists, but right. We kind of hold on. We were holding on to the stuff because we were so excited about
right.
the things that were happening with McKenna that we just wanted to keep that shit going.
It's a different thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you work on a rec, you're like, this motherfucker don't deserve this record.
Yeah, it's hard because we spend a lot of time and, like, you know, it's also a specific sound, so...
Right. Not everyone not a lot could of pull artists. It off.
Yeah, yeah, and we've tried, you know, and... It just doesn't come out the same way as like the original demo that we cut. And we're like, damn, yeah. It sounds better with just us on it. So let's just.
It's like when you get a script. Oh, sorry. When you get a script or something and certain actors can play that role yeah. a lot mm-hmm. better than other people. And it's just, I don't know what that world is like, you know, better, obviously.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if Matt Damon could play a Korean American. And he kills it. I'm like, no, yeah. never You're mind. Like, shit. He killed that. Yeah. No, I mean, I feel you. Yeah. I feel like what I do too as an artist, like as a musician, like it's really just, it's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I've tried to write for other artists too. Yeah. Like my style don't really work for a lot of artists.
Yeah. So right.
It's not really one of my passions either. I've tried it and it just mm-hmm. doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, no, it works for me, but yeah. it won't work for you. But there's other songwriters, like, they're born to do that. They can make songs that are catered to you so well.
So well, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a skill that you mm-hmm. have to kind of develop. And, you know, we're just hoping that we can shift the trend so that way people are like, you know what? I want what you guys are already doing. Like,
yeah.
I don't want you to write and try and make something for somebody else, just write music.
Right.
And if it's dope and an artist, you know, connects with it, then.
Who would you guys want to write a song for?
Oh.
There's
a lot of artists.
Yeah, I mean, just a few. Just name a few like that would that you think would actually make sense for. You know what I mean?
You want to start first? You want
me go ahead.
First? Frank Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake would be sick. Pharrell would be dope as fuck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They all like fit in that sound, you know, that you guys do. It's like Timberlake with Sex Sounds and
yeah,
all
exactly.
that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like a lot of R&B soul, like SZA would be
SZA
tight.
SZA would be sick.
You know, there's
off top.
Tekashi would be tight.
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Would
be that sounds fire. Like it's right up the alley. Kill it.
Yeah, when he wants to.
Sounds like it's right up the alley.
But yeah, I mean there's a lot of artists I think that would be cool in that R&B area, I think more of than like rap, you know, and producing just beats and hooks. But who knows, man, because it's different every day. We're always like making something that could be just way left field. And it changes.
Ken's got reggae joints under his belt, fam.
I got Latin joints. I got reggae joints.
Yeah.
A lot of the vibes, too. You got a lot of the relationship vibes, mm-hmm. you know, like obviously. Yeah. You know, and I know you're in a relationship. Is that, you pull that inspiration from there? Or
absolutely.
What?
All the good, the bad, the ugly, man, I draw from.
Yeah,
from
is that, I mean, there's so much stuff that's like, you're like speaking to a girl, right? Like mm-hmm. there's and a lot of, it's just like very specific to one girl. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
How does that feel? Like that with knowing that your girl's like listening to every joint. Is there like any like conversation after that? You know what I mean? Like specific lyrics or whatever. You're like, and she's just like, why are you so frustrated? Like, what the fuck? I thought we were doing great.
Yeah. No, she's pretty supportive. And also sometimes I don't just draw from like my own personal stuff.
Right.
I draw from like, you know, friends that are going through things, or Ken and I always talk. Like, one thing that really helps with the recording process is you need to have some kind of intent to why or what this record is speaking to you about.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we sit and we just talk about scenarios, whether it's, you know, funny situations or, you know, serious mm-hmm. situations, or, you know, we just talk about other people.
Yeah, it's like pulling from your entire life, not just the relationship that you're in now.
Right.
You know, you could pull back from old shit that you've gone through with past relationships as well. But a lot of times we'll, as we have like a beat going, before we start writing any lyrics, we're like, so how does this make you feel? And we talk about like how the music makes you feel, and we allow that to kind of speak to us.
That's
first,
tight. So you guys have a little conversation and shit.
Yeah, we really talk about
session.
It.
Therapy session.
Yeah. We like that. That's really important as a producer as well, is like to get to know, you know, how the artist is feeling and what they're going through as well. And, you know, how that can shape the rest of the song.
Artists are sensitive, fam.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so, no, we're very sensitive.
Yeah, but it's just pulling from all different things in the past. And
like, I'm very specific in my songwriting, you know, like I will mention names, timelines.
Twitter handles.
Yeah. I don't know. It is a way for me to kind of, it is therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. Yeah.
You know, maybe I shouldn't be super specific. I'll throw in numbers, phone numbers. No, okay.
Phone numbers, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, so what do you guys got planned for 2019? I mean, you just dropped the record. Are you working that album more with visuals, or what's going on with that?
We're trying to get money, man. Trying to get money this year,
We're
bro.
We're fundraising this year.
Strictly fundraising
for to expand, you know, your creative projects, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's been like, you know, all us out of our own pockets doing everything, you know, and whatever money we make from like Spotify, whatever, just goes back into the studio space and whatever we need to pay for. And now it's like, okay, how do we start to actually do a real business out of this and not have to come out of our pockets for our own music videos all the time? You know, how can we partner with other brands or, you know, Sinks, other artists or
TV placements,
you know, things like that.
This is actually a good question to ask y'all because, you know, you guys just happen to be right in that transition of like leaving your 9-to-5 jobs, right?
Like a lot of artists,
like I happen to catch you guys right in that transition. Like I think, Mike, you just literally turned in your, know, what's that shit called? It's been a while since I had a job.
2 weeks notice.
To the 2 weeks notice.
30-day notice.
Yeah.
2 weeks notice to your job to fully transition into full-time music making. And you didn't do that too long ago either.
October, I just quit Apple. I was with Apple for 10 years.
The homie right here was working at the Apple store.
Yes, on Beverly.
I'd pull up for some, you know, like the plug, the Genius Bar plug or whatever I need a discount on. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, how's that been? It's been a few months for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it scary or what?
It's more exciting than scary. I think a lot of that anxiety has turned into excitement. And, you know, being 10 years at one place, I had a lot of time to think about what my next moves are. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like I planned out like, okay, I'm going to quit on this day. I literally like went into work just like any other day and like got on a phone meeting in the morning. And then like halfway through the day, I'm like, man, I'm gonna quit my job today. Man.
Oh, really? Really? You made the decision during work.
I literally made it during work. I was just like there and I was waiting for my appointment to show up. And I was like, this is trash.
You're over here like, so we have the 16 gig and we have the 32, but what you can do, you know what? Fuck this shit, I am out of here.
Literally mid-sentence.
But that's crazy. You made the decision then and there.
That day, like I didn't talk. So I was like waiting for my appointment. I do classes over there. I like teach classes. Right. So I'm like, every time I have a class ready, I'll set up, get ready for my appointments. And then sometimes they don't show up. This, you know, person didn't show up. And I was just like, I texted my brother. I was like, Sean, I'm going to quit today. And he was like, dude, I'm in the middle of a meeting, but this just sounds fucking awesome. I'm excited for you. Do it. And I was like, all right, I got to go.
That's amazing. And then you recently quit.
Literally recently. Well, I just put in my notice.
You just put in the notice.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're still in and you're about
I'm still in there. Yeah, I'm still in there, but it's the last. I'm leaving. I've been there for about 4 years. I was working at a weed shop, my buddy's weed shop. Dispensary. And prior to that, I just, you know, I've had a bunch of different jobs ever since I got out of high school.
Yeah,
and
man.
This is like the first time.
You've been
time.
Grinding, you know?
Oh, yeah. Grinding too much, dude.
You're getting off of work, going straight to the studio. Yeah. You know, and it's tough after working all day and then wanting to be creative afterwards, right?
Yeah.
I think there's two parts of it that sucks too, because even if you have a creative job, right, you work at a creative agency,
right,
that doesn't mean it's cooler because you get to be creative.
Exactly.
You don't want to be creative 9 to 5, and then from 5 to the morning, you be more creative. More creative, like, and do that's a lot of fucking creativity.
Yeah, it drains you, man. That's you. I started to value that a lot more because I would be spending so much time at Apple doing these things that are kind of draining my creative energy, that I wouldn't be as inspired, you know, when I go home and I need to work on stuff. So I tried to balance that out and, you know, try and make work my job, you know, worth it, where I'm like sharpening my blade still.
Right, right.
But I'm not, you know, really making the most out of my time. And I started to realize that towards the end. I'm like, damn, there's so much shit I need to do with this album. I need to do all these mixes. And I was just like, I need to just bounce and just do this full time.
Has it changed the dynamic of how you guys are working now since you guys have just quit your job? Like, is there even more of a sense of an urgency? Or
yeah, dude.
I mean, you know, you guys always been hard workers, whether or not you have the job. But has something changed?
Well, it makes you hungry when you don't know when the next check's coming, bro.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I literally can't wake up and not think about making something or creating a new idea or getting inspired. Like, I'll just watch tutorials all day if I'm not creating, you know? So it's still a job for me, but it's just, there's no like every 2 weeks I'm getting a paycheck.
It's not like you guys are comfortable enough where you can just, you know, lay back and take it slowly. You know?
Nah, man, it's like, it's going to get crazier now. And I think that's what we've always wanted. You know, we've worked really hard to get to this point where we can now focus all of our energy. So we haven't really experienced it yet because he's still working, you know, but
I was excited for Mike. I mean, I know Mike, when he approached me about this, he was like, yo, like, I got to tell you something. Like,
looking around.
What the fuck happened? Like, he's like, I'm making that jump. And, you know, it was like exciting, but it is a very big thing. I remember I made that jump too. Yeah. And it was like super tough. You know, I cut down things in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I had to chill the fuck out.
Best nut ever, bro.
How was that, 2 weeks notice nut? It's nice.
I don't know yet, but I'll know as soon as I walk out, dude.
I mean you're already at that point. You're gonna, I think, feel it that first that, when you don't get the check, you're like, oh, today's payday. Oh, wait a minute.
Exactly.
I forgot I quit my fucking job.
Yeah. right, man. It's been like just a whole new lifestyle for me, man. I'm waking up and getting to decide what I want to do with my day. You know what I mean?
And it's really about organizing your time too, right? I think that's what I noticed with you, Ken. Yeah. I think you have more time now. So when it comes to create, there's time for that. When there's time to eat, there's time for that.
Right.
There's time to like hit the gym, you know?
Yeah. So I before I quit my job though, or right when I put in my 2 weeks notice, I was still working for those 2 weeks, but I was like writing out what I need to do, what my days are going to look like, how am I going to organize.
That's a good lesson. Don't just quit. Like, be ready and prepare yourself to quit.
Yeah, I prepped. I laid out all my finances, made sure that, you know, my bills will be paid.
I haven't done that
yet. You know, like, I made sure.
You just quit, didn't you? He prepared a list, motherfucker.
I know.
He had a Venn diagram.
Yeah, damn near, dude.
Yeah, no, that's tough. And I tell people, too, just because you have a 9 to 5, mm-hmm. Just because you don't have a job doesn't mean it's easier. Like, when you have a 9 to 5, you know when to clock in, you know when to clock out. Yeah. Like, when you have complete freedom, you better have some self-discipline.
You gotta have discipline.
Like, I could wake up and just do nothing all day if I want to, but you know, that's, you're putting yourself in danger.
And so then you gotta work harder at night or whatever. You gotta catch up.
It's a lot of shit. So. You gotta value your time.
Yeah. Exactly, okay. Man.
Yo, you know what? We're gonna do something that we haven't ever done here. We're gonna set up you guys' gear and do an in-house performance. This is going to be the first time we're doing this. And hopefully we do this more often when we have rappers and musicians. But I'm excited to do it with you guys because this is going to be like really dope. We're going to set up. And y'all, thank y'all for coming, man. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, man.
Ken Nana.
Thank you.
Mike B. McKenna. The album is out right now called Escape. But if you go on Spotify, you could see their first EP as well, 50/50. Mm-hmm. You know, the single Ness was the one that really put them on. It's a great, great, great track, music video, everything. So let's get into this live performance.
Follow us too on our socials at McKenna, MIKNNA.
MIKNNA. Okay, let's get into this performance.
All right.
Thank you. lay your worries on my shoulder. Don't try to win this on your own.
Yeah. Never clock down, man, it's 24/7. Discussion with no substance, just taking up the minutes. I ain't picking up the phone if it's under 7 digits. Flights out to Stockholm, roam on with no limits. Ain't motherfucker loud, ain't motherfucker hot. Then you not, you get cold what you got when you won't go figure. My 10 gold chains when my soul feel better. Surrounded with these hoes, oh no, no. 50-50 drive, we're just building up the pot. And Perry off the top, we're just building up the stocks. Try and stay focused, took a note to the block. I promise I put on, I'll be on when I'm hot. Somewhere on a cross pass, lost ways, thoughts crash, long stays, slow roll. Rolling on God's space, in space, just a little bit, not trying to page NASA.
Call me your worries on my shoulders. Don't try to win this on your own. Call me your worries on my shoulders. Try to win this from your heart.
Never clocked in, man, it's 24/7. Never pick up cause you in and out of sessions. Needed your attention, but you always kept me second. Building up the tension and I know you're under pressure. Focus on the future so you're hardly ever present. You never keep your word, then we're good at your intentions. No, ain't no goal, goodbye back once you pay your toll. Know the time or the people that you place on hold. Faith gone cold, Lord knows I play my role. Still fuck with these hoes when I gain my own. I'm done, shit is coming to a stop. Remember, don't forget about the people that you got. Or you had, you done lost past. Crossways, thoughts crash, long days. Slow rolling on your pace. Jet lag, just to come to realize that you're still lost. Yeah.
Call me your worries on my shoulder. Don't try to win this on your own.
Fun with Dumb, McKenna, exclusive.
Love me the way I do. Yeah. And you can't make me want to love you the way I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Used to pop that booty like a pro. Used to love it when I hit it from the back like that. We used to do it 3 times in a row. No, you do remember that right there. Now you blowing me up on the phone, telling me that I've been gone for way too long. You can leave a message on the tone on. Sorry, but I need to be alone right now. Know that I miss you, not trying to diss you. That's not the issue right now. Can't be with you, so even though I know I really need you right now. Know that I miss you, not trying to diss you. That's not the issue right now. Can't be with you. Even though I know that I really need you. I can't make you want to love me the way I do. Yeah. You can't make me want to love you the way I do. Yeah.
Shout out Dumb, Fun with Dumb.
We Are McKenna, M-I-K-N-N-A. Our debut album, Escape, is out now. Go stream that. Follow us on socials, M-I-K-N-N-A. Thanks for having us, man.